Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oregon, UB, Gillette will meet at the quarterback. Redskins, Nationals, one segment, jam-packed. Grant and Danny, let's do it. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Michael, third preseason game coming up. Redskins' first-string offense has run the ball 14 times with very little success. Do you think it is critical that they run the ball more effectively in this third game, or are we overrating how big a story this is with them not really game planning?
Well, I think the bigger question is it important to run the ball effectively or keep running the ball if you know you're not going to be very good at it? I think we're about to cross this bridge here, Grant. I certainly understand the fans who say you got to keep running, you got to wear them down, et cetera, et cetera. There's a point, though, where I say in return, they're not very good at this. Spencer Long is injured. I don't think Sean LeBound gets good push against the run. I think that they've struggled in run blocking. The tight ends, I think, have struggled extensively in run blocking. I don't think this is a great running team. And so now you go back to the drawing board and you say, how many times a game do we have to run the ball? Do we have to run the ball? Or can this passing game take care of business? I think that's the first order of business is clearing that up.
Michael Phillips, Supreme Editor, if you please, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Junior Gillette, do we see it? Is it a thing? Is it going to happen? What do you expect?
Boy, you know, if he makes it to that first game, that's kind of a win in and of itself right there, seeing him the uniform out there chasing guys around. And the playing time is his for the taking right now, especially with the injury to Trent Murphy. And obviously, he was going to be gone early in the season anyway. I think Gillette is more talented than Preston Smith, just from what we've seen them do on NFL fields over the years. So I think the job is his to lose. I'm excited to potentially see him out there, but I put in that word of caution, much like Josh Doctson, that I'll believe it when I see it.
Mike, it's August 23rd. I thought the Ryan Grant starting thing was cute in the offseason during OTAs. He's still starting. He's going to start in the dress rehearsal. Is there a chance for the majority of the first part of the season that he is the number two receiver on this team behind Pryor?
Yeah, I think there's a very real chance of that. Now, throwing in the caveat that really Jordan Reed is your number two receiver in terms of who gets the passes, who catches the balls, but I think he'll absolutely line up opposite him. I think it'll be a substitution pattern that involves Grant and Josh Doctson. For whatever reason, they don't want to give Josh Doctson a full 100% workload right now, even in these preseason games. They swear up and down he's fine, he's great, he's good to go. I think something smells at least a little bit fishy there. You got this talented rookie, you say he's fine, but you're not giving him all the snaps that he certainly needs to get acclimated to the offense. So whatever the situation is, yeah, this is Ryan Grant's opportunity here. I'd be surprised if he gets fewer than five targets, say, in the first couple weeks.
Give me your sense of Phil Taylor. Is it just nice training camp story and it's all cute and well and good, or can the guy play?
Well, the guy can indisputably play. That's why he was a first-round draft pick, but there's so much going on there. That the 2.5 years out of football, kind of a Tim Hightower-esque story there, slowly grinding his way back in. I think the defensive line is one of the most fascinating dilemmas you've got to solve here over the next few weeks. Can Taylor give you 16 games? Is he the answer there? Which of these rookies do you like? Which of these rookies do you not like? Are you going to cut Terrell McClain and eat a $7 million salary cap hit? But are you going to keep him and potentially cut loose one of these young guys? A lot of tough decisions there. The defensive line is a puzzle I have not figured out yet.
You mentioned that, and you tweeted that one of the most intriguing years in a while on the depth chart for the O-line and the D-line. Go deeper into that. Why is it so hard to predict?
Well, I think you start with McClain, and if you know, I think on a purely talent-based perspective, he's cut. He's gone on cut day. He's not one of your best guys on the defensive line. But you got to eat $7 million in salary cap space this year, $3 million next year. It's almost not worth it to cut him. But at the same time, a lot of talent. Anthony Lanier has really come on. Obviously, Jonathan Allen doing fantastic. Stacy McGee doing well. Ioannidis, you want to keep Ioannidis around, of course, to keep developing. That's a draft pick, an in-house guy. Phil Taylor, Andre Pipkins, It's a stacked house up there up front. I don't know that beyond Phil Taylor there's a true nose tackle, but they're kind of moving away from that anyway. It's tough decisions. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I think this could be it for Ari Quanjo. I think if he doesn't step up in the next couple of games, Ari Quanjo will not be part of the 53-man roster.
Let's go to some of the youngsters here, Miguel. I'm hearing good things about Fabian Moreau. A lot of compliments flying around there. Monte Nicholson, some of the other youngsters, looking at Harvey Clemens, whether it's, Josh Holsey, et cetera. Give me your sense of some of these youngsters' impact contribution level here going forward.
Yeah, I think you have to be impressed with Fabian Moreau. And I understand he got some deep passes caught against him, but I thought his technique was sound on those plays. I thought he had good technique, good positioning. When he got beat, he did not allow that to get to him. He stayed in the game, was very good on special teams. Those things matter. So he's my breakout rookie so far, for sure. Robert Davis was a guy I loved in training camp, the receiver. I thought he did very well through the offseason, through the summer. The tape was good coming out of college. He hasn't really put it together, though, so I would say he's a receiver who's certainly on the bubble right now coming down the stretch, and maybe you put him on the practice squad, give him some more time, but he has not had the preseason that we were certainly hoping for.
Nate Sudfeld, what have we seen through a couple preseason games to this point with a lot of opportunity to move the football?
Boy, hold your nose on that one. The saving grace for Nate Sudfeld is that nobody was watching during that two-minute drill at the end of the game the other night. Yeah, it was a stinker. That was not good, not NFL caliber. I roll back that Jay Gruden press conference on RG3 from a few years ago. Not what we expect, not Washington Redskins football, not good enough. All those things on Nate Sudfeld. He's a developmental guy. The question is, do you spend another year developing him, or do you need to get another guy in here right away because of this very real possibility that Kirk Cousins bounces at the end of the season? You don't want to be caught off guard if that happens.
The appropriate term, not just for a regular lord, but for the entire protector of the seven realms and the seven kingdoms, is your grace. Your grace, Michael Phillips, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You're too kind.
Thank you very much. Let's talk Nationals, please, Tommy. Our friend Chelsea James of the Washington Post covers those Nationals. That's why she comes on to talk about the Nationals. Chelsea, this bullpen has transformed itself. It was a liability. Now, dare I say, it's an asset.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And even with Ryan Madsen out with that weird finger thing, I mean, they've still been good. And it shows you, you know, all along early in the season, they kept saying, you know, like, we have people who've done this before. Look at their track records. And they weren't wrong. I mean, they had guys who had done it before, but they'd just done it in the sixth and seventh. And when you put those guys back in the sixth and seventh, like Albers, even Blanton, all of a sudden they look good again. And you realize that, you know, they were right all along. So those late inning, you know, acquisitions were really helpful. And just kind of put everybody back in the proper place for them to, you know, have a good chance to succeed.
Is Dusty saying Max is going Friday still? We feel pretty good about that?
Dusty said he's planning for it. I think it's a little bit interesting that maybe, you know, we haven't heard Mike Rizzo commit to that or anything like that. But, you know, I think Max is planning to go Friday. But this next thing has kind of come out of nowhere, you know, a couple times now on him. So I think they're pretty cautious, but I'd bet on it. I'd bet on him starting Friday.
All right, let's go into some of these rehabbing stars here. They need Jason Worth. They need Trey Turner. Give me a timetable on those guys, Chelsea.
Well, you know, they just started rehabbing this week with Syracuse and are going to go to Potomac this weekend. So it seems like they're, you know, at least like a full week away. I would expect that they'll be back, you know, September 1st, around there when rosters expand, if not sooner. You know, I think Worth's going to be a little bit ahead of Turner because Turner's got the wrist thing and hasn't been able to hit. Worth's been hitting pumps now, literally. So, but I think you'll see them the first week in September, and, you know, that'll give him a month to get ready before October, obviously.
I want to go back to the bullpen for a second. You mentioned how good they've been. Kinsler gets the 543 double play last night with the bases loaded, which was one of the pitches of the season, frankly. Then you've got Sean Doolittle, 12 appearances now, where he's got 12 strikeouts and 5 hits, scoreless in his last 12 times out. But it's been guys like Joe Blanton who have stepped up. I mean, the second layer, the B bullpen, so to speak, for the most part, has been pretty good.
Yeah, they've definitely improved it. And Blanton is, you know, Dusty kind of said this last night, is sort of working his way back into big innings. And that's what they got him for. I mean, he was one of the key setup people to the Dodgers for 2 years. You know, he got high leverage innings. He would be the guy they brought in for the middle of the order. He's kind of no scrub. I mean, he's been there. And, you know, he's starting to finally look like that again. I'm not sure I'd, you know, trust him with the eighth inning of a one-run game all of a sudden in October, but he's starting to look more like the guy they paid for. And if you get him back, you know, maybe start finding a little bit of the old Sean Kelly, all of a sudden you look deep, you know, which was unthinkable, you know, even just before the deadline.
Chelsea, our expectations for Daniel Murphy are probably unrealistic because of how great he's been. So take this with a grain of salt. I'm not criticizing by any stretch of the imagination. It just it looks like he's a little run down to me. Is that something that's kind of floating around? Maybe he doesn't have his legs underneath him at this stage in the year, and might he be in line for some more days off in the coming days?
I totally agree. I was just thinking about that, actually, how, you know, where do you get Howie Kendrick at bats when Jason Worth comes back? Oh, you put him at second and let Daniel Murphy get healed. Because I think it's been pretty clear that Murphy's legs have been a little tired, or he's dealing with what looks like to be a hip thing and nothing serious, and you've seen him get a few extra days off here and there. But, you know, I think he could benefit from some real rest. And he's not a guy who needs a lot of swings to get back in rhythm. So, you know, if you're dusty and you get everyone back, you can say, okay, let's keep Kendrick in the lineup. Let's let Murph kind of settle down. And I definitely wouldn't be surprised to see that happen in September, because I completely agree. He's just looks a little clunky and uncomfortable, and I think that he just, you know, needs a break.
Nats, Astros, 8:10 D.C. time. First pitch tonight. You can listen to the game on 106.7 The Fan. You can follow Chelsea Janes in the Washington Post for all the content you need on the team. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Thanks for having me.
That is your Beltway Blitz on the Skins and the Nats. 12-18. Let's look at the rookie quarterback class. How are things going for Mitch Trubisky in Chicago, Pat Mahomes in Kansas City, Deshaun Watson in Houston, and how about Deshaun Kaiser in Cleveland?
Looks like he's going to start.
May actually be the starter in week one. We'll give you the deets on all of those guys, how they're faring so far, and we'll make predictions on what their rookie years are going to look like next on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.